Hey, you guys, my one-woman show, Surviving the Ride, is coming to Portland, Oregon on Saturday, December 8th at the Clinton Street Theater. I'll be sharing true stories about my career as a flight attendant and my journey to and through the Peace Corps, and then facing death head-on. Come on down to see me on Saturday, December 8th at the Clinton Street Theater in Portland, Oregon. Tickets are available now for only $12 in advance or $15 the night of the show. You can get your tickets at ChristineBlackburn.com, StoryworthyPodcast.com, or at the theater website, CSTPDX.com. That's CSTPDX.com. And stick around after the show. I'd love to meet you guys. Hey, it's Christine from Storyworthy. Today on the show, actress Jenna Brister shares a terrifying story about going to Christian summer camp and almost losing her life.
I remember laying there and thinking, what's the worst that could happen to me? Like, this is fine. I'm at Bible camp, you know, everything's cool. And so at the same time, I'm thinking, I need to not do this and stand up because I can get severely injured. Because it hurts being launched in a lake, landing on water. And so it's going to hurt a lot more landing on a field.
Today on Storyworthy, actress Jenna Brister talks about a Christian summer camp that was anything but Christian. Stay close.
Hey, it's Jenna Brister, and you are listening to Storyworthy.
Welcome to Storyworthy. My name is Christine Blackburn, and I'm coming to you from Los Angeles, California. Whether you're a longtime fan of the show or a new listener, welcome to Storyworthy. I hope you guys had a chance to listen to the show last week, which was Story Smash from October 27th. Jenna, you were on this show.
I was. That was a fun night.
Yeah, it was an amazing night.
Yeah.
Now, it hasn't happened yet, but it's going to have been. It's just we're recording at this funny time.
Exactly. I'm just that confident. I'm that confident in the show and the lineup and the judges panel.
Well, that's the thing.
It's such a fun format.
It really is. Thank you so much. Yeah. I'm really glad. And you're such a good contestant.
Oh my God,
really.
It's so fun.
You are super good. You're very quick on your feet. So go back, you guys, and listen to Story Smash last week, because honestly, that show gets better and better and tighter and tighter. Mm-hmm. But not now, because today we're here with Jenna Brister,
yay,
who, like I said, was just on Story Smash. And you are so talented, Jenna.
Oh, that is so sweet. Thank you.
You really are. So nice. You are an improviser, you're a comedian, you're an actress. You remind me of, now you tell me who people think, not physically, or not your looks, but you remind me like of a Sherry O'Terry.
That's, I used to get that all the time growing up.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Ever since, I think, junior high.
Maybe it's just your height or your stature, yeah, or something.
Yeah. I think also, I used to have more energy. I was like a spaz growing up. Yeah.
Wow. But it's more your energy. And I never met her, but you just remind me of her.
Thank you.
And also the way, the way she improvises.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have that, how do you say it, like that... What would you say, like that essence, or different improv actresses bring different things to the table?
Yeah.
Like, you're not like Kate McKinnon. I mean,
no.
She's very talented, you're very talented, but it's a different mm-hmm. kind of thing. You guys can decide for yourself after you hear today's story, because today, Jenna, you bring forth a topic, near-death experience.
Yes.
And that's, you know, what I love about this topic is so clean.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we know what you're going to talk about.
Yeah.
It's your near-death experience.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, of course, this is going to be amazing. I feel like I've had near-death experiences where I probably should have died. You know, like hiking on a trail I shouldn't have been on, or skiing down a mountain I shouldn't have been on, or you know, swimming out too far. But the only time I ever felt like I really was going to die was in the ocean when I was about 9 or 10, like tumbling in the waves.
Oh, wow.
Like feeling like I was seeing my life flash before my very short
yes.
life flash before my eyes.
Like second grade, first grade.
Yeah, exactly.
That's scary though.
Yeah, yeah, it is scary. But other than that, I haven't really had one. So I'm anxious to hear your story. Actually, when I was thinking about that, that was when I used to go to Ocean City, New Jersey. We went there every mm-hmm. summer growing up, because I'm from Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. And there's this new candle that's out right now. They're called homesick candles. Have you heard of these?
Yes, I actually have.
They're really cool. They're each personalized with either a different state or a different country. And they also actually have a lot of different college towns. These candles are like totally thoughtful and personal. It's not just like you picked up anything off the shelf. I mean, you think about the person and maybe a place they've been or some place they miss, and then you buy them an appropriate candle. In fact, I got my mom one called Southern California, you know, so she can think of me. And here's the description of Southern California. A perfect mix of lemon and zesty oranges, along with fresh sea breeze and aloe, completed with a floral bouquet of rose, carnation, and jasmine. Doesn't that sound lovely?
Yeah.
So you can share memories with homesick candles that create and build strong bonds with your friends and family. It's perfect. It's personal. And everybody loves a good candle. And right now, you guys, Storyworthy listeners who go to homesick.com and use my promo code Storyworthy will receive 10% off any order over $50 and get free shipping. I mean, that's a great deal. You get 10% off and free shipping. So you guys, head over to homesick.com, use the promo code Storyworthy, and you'll find a personal gift for everybody on your list. Are you doing this, Jenna?
Yeah.
Do you love candles?
Yeah.
I know, right? It makes a great gift. Anyway, you have so many great stories, Jenna. I know you do. So I want to hear your near-death experience story. But also, you told so many fantastic stories on Story Smash.
Oh, thank you.
I mean, about being a nanny in Hollywood and about interviewing with Elon Musk. I mean, you have like a lot in your quiver. Is that how you say it?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it just comes from always saying yes and getting into situations I want to get out of, which is kind of related to today's theme.
You are so funny. No, I know what you mean, though. It's like the more you say yes, the more you might fail, but the more experiences you'll have. And so it's like quantity versus like doing nothing.
Yeah. Absolutely. I remember reading some quote. I used to live in New York after college, and I saw this quote that was like, the morning after is for the storytellers. And there was something about saying yes. It was like some weird poem. And I was like, oh yeah, if you say yes, you're always going to end up having some sort of story. If you say no, you're never going to have a story.
Yeah, exactly. And so, in other words, you have to experience to even get the story to begin with.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And so,
I mean, you could read all the books you want and watch all the TV you want, but if it's not your story, that's you know, you're watching Breaking Bad for the third time.
Yes.
And now what?
Oh, I just rewatched it. It holds up. Oh, it's still terrifying the second time around.
I know.
Even when you know what happens.
It is. Hey, I want to show you this app on my phone, by the way. It's called Robinhood. Have you heard of that? Robinhood?
No. I know of the legend, but not the app.
Yeah, it's really cool, and it's that lets you buy and sell stocks, ETFs, and cryptos, all commission-free.
Really?
Do you know what I just said?
Yes.
Do you know what an ETF is?
No. But I know what stocks are.
No, exactly.
And I need to start investing and like playing with that.
Honestly, then this Robinhood.com, you're going to be really impressed because it's a non-intimidating way for stock market newcomers, especially to invest for the first time. And you can be confident because it's like, it's just simple and it's intuitive. They use those matchstick charts. Do you know what I mean?
Like a bar graph?
Yeah. Well, you call it a bar graph.
Yeah.
I call it a matchstick graph. The point is that other brokerages charge up to $10 for every trade, but Robinhood, they don't charge commission fees at all.
I need to try this.
I know. It's amazing. Robinhood.
So you really can steal from the rich and give to the poor financial planners like myself.
Okay, I was going to tell you what an ETF is.
Oh, yeah. What is an ETF?
Very similar to a mutual fund. But when you buy a mutual fund, they're processed at the exchange closing rate at the end of the day. Do you know what I mean? Like, so if you buy a mutual fund at 12 o'clock in the afternoon, it's still not going to, we're not going to get that price locked into the end of the day. Mm-hmm. But with an ETF, they're kind of like mutual funds, but you can trade them anytime you want, like a regular stock. It's just another way to invest.
Yeah.
It's an ETF. That's what I was going to tell you about those, which I forgot earlier.
That's cool, though. And it's all in one app, so you can keep track of it easily.
Exactly, Robinhood. And so you guys got to head over there. And right now, Robinhood is going to give my listeners here at Storyworthy a free stock like Apple, Ford, or Sprint. I know, right? And it'll help build your portfolio. So sign up at storyworthy.robinhood.com. Storyworthy.robinhood.com, you guys. Storyworthy.robinhood.com and start investing in this really cool way. Yeah, so are you investing at all right now, Jenna Brister?
Oh, no.
You know,
that's what's next, though. That's what's next.
It's a good thing to do.
Yeah.
I had a real job in my life for 7 years, and during that time, I put money into a 401k.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, and then that actually was a very good decision on my part.
Yeah.
Because then later, I've been able to make it grow, as it were.
Yeah.
Anyway, so listen, I'm really excited to hear your story. But before we get to Jenna's story, I did want to remind you guys to head over to storyworthypodcast.com. And I'm just going to leave it at that because I've already been talking too much about, you know, stuff. So we're just going to leave it right there. All right, you guys, Jenna Brister's here right now. She's an actress and an improviser, like I said, and you're a 5-time Moth Story Slam winner.
Yes.
What is happening?
It's so fun.
The band starts up. No. Whistling.
Honest. So sweet.
Jenna, that is so wonderful. That's a really great accomplishment.
Thank you.
And you also write made-for-TV thriller movies for Lifetime, which you're, now see, you're grinning right off the bat.
I am.
I mean, because it's, because why?
Because it's so fun. I grew up watching Lifetime movies,
yeah.
That formulaic program where you know who the bad guy is because they're watching him across the street.
Right.
And so I had no idea that, you know, working in comedy for so many years, that my first movie to get made would be a Lifetime thriller.
And what was the name of that?
Killer Twin.
Oh, Killer Twin. Sure.
Yeah, of course.
It seems like they may have done that before.
Yes. Well, it was originally The Deadly Double,
and then they
changed it.
Yeah, because there's generally only about, what, 12, 14 stories there?
Yeah, exactly.
And then they go through them. They keep going through
Psycho
them.
Nanny, Crazy Babysitter.
Another thing I learned about those movies, recently I had Melissa Peterman on the show. She is shooting a Lifetime movie, and she was saying how they shoot the entire script, 120 pages, in 10 days.
Yeah, they do. They're usually 100 because of the network.
Wow.
They have to be exactly 100 pages. And same, they shot mine in Vancouver in 10 days.
That's what she's doing right now. She's shooting
awesome.
In Vancouver
Good.
For 10 days.
Oh, that's so rad. They pump
funny?
Them out. It's really cool. It's the same crew that do the Hallmark movies.
Yeah, she said that they're very accomplished.
Mm-hmm.
Like the people that are working these films because they do it so much and so fast.
Yeah, they really do. That's so cool she's up there though. That's awesome.
Yeah. And also, Jenna, you are now the co-host of Wondery's podcast, I Survivor. So that's happening.
Yes.
And you guys can find Jenna over on Twitter at Jenna Brister and also on Instagram at Jenna.Brister.
Yeah.
That was good
Nailed
to
it.
Get. Jenna.Brister.
Yeah.
Because the Jenna Brister was gone, obviously.
It was by me. I somehow got locked out of my own account, so I opened up another one.
Oh my gosh.
I know.
You are the
I don't
owner
know.
Of two.
Yeah.
Did you call Instagram?
I did. I emailed them and I was like, please, it's me. And
they
never wrote. Yeah.
Isn't that unbelievable?
It is.
Anyway, all right, I'm going to go check out Jenna Brister and Jenna.Brister.
Yeah,
right
you'll
now,
find some nice old photos.
All right, you guys, wherever you are, put your hands together for the lovely and talented Jenna Brister.
Woo! Thank you so much for having me on. Hello, Storyworthy people. I come to you today with a tale that I haven't actually told in a long while. It's a story of a near-death experience. I had just turned 18, and I was barely legal, and I got asked to go work on staff at a Bible camp in Washington. And so I grew up going to summer camps, and my camp director was moving to a new camp, but I was excited to take a summer off. You know, I was 18. A bunch of my friends had cool internships. We're going to travel abroad, probably have sex with people. But I got roped into working at a camp outside this town called Bremerton in Seattle. And so it was on a lake because you might know Christians love lakes for some reason, because I think it's easy to baptize people. That's my theory. But I was convinced to go because my camp director came to me and he was like, look, I need you to come be the drama director at this new camp. And it's going to be a Lord of the Rings themed extreme sports Bible camp. And I was like, wow, that sounds incredible. And I'd never seen Lord of the Rings. And he was like, look, I want you to come be the drama director and act in all these dinner theater plays for the campers. It's this huge camp. And you're going to play Gimli. And so I was like, all right, fine. I'll come to camp one last summer. And then after watching Lord of the Rings, I discovered that Gimli was the bearded dwarf. So I had been precast as a bearded dwarf. And I'm 5 feet tall, so I figured, okay, let's do it. So I pack up everything and I head to summer camp. And this camp is huge. It had 150 people on staff, 300 campers, and we all file into the main dining hall for the first staff meeting. And I know no one there except for the camp director. And he informs me that I have to start calling him Yeah Yeah because everyone there had a camp name. And so we all go in and I stood up and meet everyone for the naming ceremony. And so I have to say a few details about myself. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm into, you know, hiking. I like to do this and that. And then someone named Squeegee Boom stands up. And he's like, your life seems like a buffet table of insanity. I name you Smorgasbord. So everyone claps. And now for the rest of the summer, I'm called Smorgasbord. It was the weirdest thing ever. And so I move into the staff girl's cabin out in the woods. And there's 20 other, young adult females living in there. And then this bitch named Twingo comes up to me. And she's like, the only reason you're here is because Sassafras got pregnant. And I was like, what? Okay. And so I'm like unpacking my thrift store clothes into my bunk. And then I meet who will be my best friend, Blue Crush, the water sports director. She is the most high maintenance person at camp. She has like dyed bleach blonde hair. She has an oscillating fan next to her bunk, caboodles from Target, lipstick. And so she's in charge of, you know, she's like the head lifeguard of the place. And she's actually wearing one of those, orange floaties, like the can, the lifeguard can. She wore it all summer. And she's total opposites. And we became instant best friends because we both loved sneaking out at night and going to Taco Bell. And we both hated Twingo. So one of those first nights, she was like, smorgasbord, let's go for a drive. And I was like, all right. And she taught me how to smoke cloves. And I was like, this is the coolest girl ever. She was older, you know, she was like in her 20s. And I was like, she's amazing. And so the first week of camp was inner city week, where they bus in a bunch of kids from the inner city. And none of them either, like me, had seen Lord of the Rings. And so all of them just called me the caveman because I had to wear this chainmail outfit and a giant beard and this huge wig, and it was so hot, but they were really committed to this Lord of the Rings theme. So a typical day at camp looked like this. There would be, you know, Lord of the Rings themed crafts, games, swimming in at the waterfront, and I would always go down and hang out with Blue Crush because I wasn't in charge of any campers normally. I would just put on plays during dinner. So I would help Blue Crush pull in this thing called the Blob at night. And if you've seen Heavyweights, you know, the Blob is this enormous inflatable pillow that's like 20 feet long. It goes on the lake and you climb up a tower. And the idea, it's like a physics nightmare because you put a smaller person on the end of it in the water, and then a large person jumps off a tower on one end, slams into it, and then it shoots the little person off into the lake. And so I often was forced to go on the other side of it. And they're like, smorgasbord, get on the end. And, you know, like, my friend Donkey Kong, who played Gimli, he was a really tall, lanky Canadian man. He would launch me. My best friend Onita, who was this 6'4", half black, half Cuban man, who became also one of my instant best friends. He would launch me. But he was super fun because he had a digital camera. And I had the key to the costume closet. So once we started doing these things at night, because like this is how you flirt. Like I was very asexual this summer. But this is how you flirt at camp. It's like you decide to meet at night at the kitchen and you do a kitchen raid. We go in and like eat all the desserts. And then we would go to the costume closet and I would unlock it because I had a key to it. And we would just dress up in different costumes and take photos of each other. And like that was my summer. It was very odd. And so the Blob itself would get vandalized at night. Like other teenagers from across the lake would swim over and slash it open with a knife. So at night, we started pulling it up onto the field. And so that was just a routine thing. You know, after lights out, all the campers would go to their cabins. And then I would join Blue Crush down at the waterfront. We'd pull the Blob up, light up a clove, and go to Taco Bell. Like that was our life. And but it was really weird. Like the people there were not typical church-going people. Like there were a handful of people who were really cool, but some of them were like really, really mean. I mean, I mentioned Twingo earlier. She was like so mean. Like I'm talking Regina George of Bible Camp. And one night in the cabin, I remember this girl, I don't want to say her real name in case anyone from camp listens to this. We'll just call her Salt and Peppa, was explaining to the rest of us in the cabin that she's still a virgin because her and her boyfriend, who was also on staff there, Teen Wolf, only did anal. And I was like, no, that's not how it works. You're definitely not a virgin. And she's like, yeah, anal doesn't count. And I was like, what is going on? Like, why are all of you working here? None of you should be working here. And then Lever 2000, one of the lifeguards, comes out of our one shared shower in the cabin and announces that she just shaved her pubes because she was going to have a date that weekend. I was like, I'm done. I'm over this camp. And so, the director was great. He's like super loving and probably one of the funniest people I've ever met. He's like this 220-pound Puerto Rican from Queens. He reminds me so much of Vince Vaughn. And so I was having fun with him and with Blue Crush and a few of our friends. So we had five of the guys who led the extreme sports, like BMX bike stuff, dress up as ring wraiths. Those like guys in Lord of the Rings land or Mordor in all black robes. And they would like drive around the campers and they'd be like, yeah. And then we would get 300 donuts from Krispy Kreme and those would be the rings. Like it was very hodgepodge, but I was like, let's lean into the theme, whatever. And so one night,
I started to get riskier with my shenanigans. And so I stole a bunch of the bubbles from the rec closet. And I met Oneter down at the waterfront. And we poured all the bubbles on the slide and would shoot down into the water. And then we decided, we were like, let's paddle out on one of these boats and just sleep in a boat. You know, and I was like, oh my gosh, maybe we'll kiss. Who knows? Probably not. But I was like, yeah, let's do it. Let's sleep out on the lake. Because I was just so emotionally over camp at this point because everyone was crazy. And so we go back to our cabins, get our sleeping bags. And I'm wearing this blue tankini from Target, like powder blue tankini. And like, I'm full body confidence for no reason. You know, living off camp food, you know, hadn't had a proper BM in 2 months. And we go down to the waterfront and Blue Crush is there smoking cloves. So we light up and we're about to paddle out to sleep on the lake. And we hear voices by the boathouse and we're like, what? Like no one else is supposed to be out here. It's like midnight. And so we creep through the bushes. And of course, Oneter freaks out because he just left a cabin of third graders sleeping alone in the woods. And so I go with Blue Crush and we see that it's Kavu, the maintenance man, and Donkey Kong, the activities director, and Yaya, the camp director. And they're playing on the blob. Because if you're a grown male, you know, in the 150 to 200 pound weight class, one of you can kind of sit on the end and then the other one hits the other side and it kind of bounces you up. And they're like, smorgasbord, get on the end, get on the end. And so I was like, yeah, you know, I'll get on the end because it's midnight and you know, I'm making 7 cents an hour. Like, what's the worst that can happen? And so I remember Blue Crush goes with me to the end of the blob and she lays down the floaty just beyond where I was laying as if I could, you know, jump up and like land on it and it would break my fall. And then around the back, Yaya, Kavu, and Donkey Kong without communicating. And I remember laying there and thinking, what's the worst that could happen to me? Like, this is fine. I'm at Bible camp, you know, everything's cool. And so at the same time, I'm thinking, I need to not do this and stand up because I can get severely injured. Because it hurts being launched in a lake, landing on water. And so it's going to hurt a lot more landing on a field of dirt and grass. But before I had time to stand up, at the same time, Donkey Kong, Kavu, and Yaya, who all combined weigh about 600 pounds, run and slam into the back of the blob, and I feel all the air well up underneath me, and I am launched, and I take off from it, and I'm in sort of a fetal position as I fly over Blue Crush, who was about, you know, 6 feet ahead of me, and I hit a branch that we measured later that was about 12 feet in the air, and I'm up in the air long enough to think, oh my gosh, this is gonna jack me up. And I'm twisting in midair and I realize I'm gonna land on like my left shoulder. And so my first thought was, okay, protect my neck and my rib cage. And so I remember seeing this safety video that if you're ever in a elevator that's plummeting, you're supposed to lay flat on the ground so that the shock is absorbed throughout your whole body. So I did my best job of trying to contort myself midair so that I wouldn't land on my head and potentially, you know, snap my neck. And I landed with a huge thud right along my left side. And I made these sounds that I had never made before that were a mix of like, it was kind of like this, like, of like my lungs trying to catch my breath. And everyone starts screaming and Blue Crush is freaking out. She's like, we need to backboard her. But they all ran around and then sat me up, which was horrible. And then they called Teaspoon, the nurse, who was across camp. And her name was Teaspoon, but her real name was Teresa Spoon. So that one was valid. And she comes down in her Dodge Caravan. And without backboarding me, they pick me up and put me into the van. And I said, I can't move. I can't walk. And I really can't even speak yet. I was in so much shock and so much pain. And they drive me up to the nurse's station and Teaspoon had all these Canadian painkillers that she had smuggled in. And so she's loading me full of pills. And there's this camper, I remember Brooks, like a sixth grader who had just broken his arm. So he's in the bed across the nurse's station. And the side of my body is turning purple. And it hurt so hard to breathe. And I was like, I need to go to a hospital. And so Teaspoon does a brief physical exam on me and determines that my left arm isn't broken. And I was like, okay, well, that's nice. I can't move. And so then they, you know, yeah, is freaking out. Everyone's crying. And he promises me, you know, Justin Timberlake tickets and all this stuff. And I was like, I just really need to go to a hospital. and they wouldn't take me because they were afraid that they would get sued. And so I, you know, everyone leaves the cabin and I'm sitting there. It's probably 2 a.m. by now and I'm in so much pain. And I look over and Brooks is just laying there with his broken arm. And I was like, I have to call my dad. And so my parents, my childhood home is about 3 hours from here. And there's a rotary phone on the nightstand. And I pick it up and I just dial. And it's 2 a.m. And I wake up my parents. And I'm like, Dad, there's this thing called the blob. It's in heavyweights. You know, I try to explain to him that I got launched on dry land on this giant pillow and that I couldn't move. And he's like, I'll be right there. And so he drives 3 hours around the peninsula and gets to Bible camp as the sun's rising. And I remember I tried to walk out to his truck and it still was like so painful on the entire left side of my body. And so he drives me to the hospital that I was born in and they take x-rays and I had cracked 6 ribs and my pelvis. And it was so, and I had bruises all along the side of my body. And so they pumped me full of drugs and I went home. And I took a week off of camp and I was like, Dad, I cannot go back to Bible camp. That place is bad. Everyone there is bad. And that week coincided with the DVD release of seasons 1 and 2 of Lost. And so watching that on OxyCod was so fun because I would have these nightmares at night of like the smoke monster and Saeed busting into my room and Echo was in my dreams. It was so crazy. But my car was at Bible camp and it was getting towards the end of the summer and I was like, oh God, I'm going to go back to college. I got to go get my car. And my arm was in a sling. And so my dad drove me back across and dropped me off. And I was surprised to see that they had one of this other like young guy. I think it was like Aslan. That was his name, playing Gimli. And there were all these rumors going around about what happened to Smorgasbord. And they're like, oh, she got sick. Oh, she had to go to something else. And no one had told the truth about what happened to me. And Blue Crush was pissed, of course, because she was like my one ally. And so on my last day, there was this big staff meeting. And because a lot of people were leaving, you know, and there were some new people coming in for the last few weeks of the summer. And they had a naming ceremony. And so I was like, all right, this is it. I'm going to do the big tell all, blow the lid off this place. And then Blue Crush comes in and she's like, someone slashed the blob open, you know? And apparently my arrival coincided with someone slashing it open. And Yaya pulls me aside and he's like, did you do that? And I was like, no, I wish I would have thought of that. But you know, you guys shouldn't use that thing anymore. It's super dangerous. And then he stands up in front of the entire staff and he comes clean. He's like, you know, Smorgasbord was basically land blobbed and that's how she got injured. And I appreciated him coming clean to everyone, you know, because I wouldn't have sued anyways. I just wanted, you know, prompt medical care. And of course, the bones healed and everything. But that day, a new staff member arrived. And after telling that story, he stood up and we named him Landblob in my honor. And the last I heard, Landblob is still on staff there. And so my biggest takeaway from that was nothing good happens after midnight. And don't trust anyone who claims to be an adult virgin because they're probably doing anal. And never go to Bible camp if you don't want to.
I hate those people.
Yeah, it was bad.
I swear to God, Jenna, I hate those people. They are like the most unchristian people I've ever heard of.
There was a lot of bad ones. My camp director and his family are amazing, but they're a few of the only ones.
When did the Bible or Jesus or anything like that, when did it even play into camp?
Usually in the afternoon they would do like Bible study things or like activities that had to do with the Bible or like Bible study. And we would do these fireside skits that would have like loose biblical themes. But what was most shocking was everything behind closed doors. Like I remember most of these staff members having one-on-one conversations with them and being like, you're rude. Like you're not a good person. A lot of them were. But the fact that there were even a handful that weren't was enough to ruin it for me.
Was Sassafras really pregnant?
Oh, yeah. I guess someone got pregnant and then Twingo, that's her real camp name. She made a point on my first day of telling me that I wouldn't be there if she hadn't gotten pregnant. And I was like, what? And that was the kind of tipped me off to the fact that, oh, maybe not everyone here is like living a life of love and acceptance and inclusion.
Yeah. Were there Bibles there?
Yeah. Yeah. People would bring their own Bibles.
Did people read them?
Good question. I don't know. I really don't.
Was Blue Crush, was that girl a lot older?
She's great. Yeah, she was in her, I think probably in her mid to late 20s at the time.
So why wouldn't she call the hospital? Or why weren't they calling your parents like ASAP?
Yeah, no, and that's what was most disturbing, you know, is that I wasn't rushed to a hospital. I think they were afraid of, I don't know what they were afraid of. It's not like, you know, I would lead a crusade to shut the camp down. But
things have to be known. I mean, yeah. I feel like not necessarily a crusade, but like people need to know that rules aren't being followed mm-hmm. in the event of an emergency situation.
Yeah. And that just because my arm's not broken doesn't mean everything else was, wow. you know, it was, that was the worst.
That
yeah.
is so terrifying. You it were was. Flying through the air. And knew you were going to land, and it was like, how bad's it going
to
be?
Yeah, I had enough time in the air to think, yeah. okay, I need to figure out how I'm going to land.
So when
it was
they,
so painful.
When they run over to you, what are they saying?
Yeah, they're like, are you okay? No, are you okay, right? You're okay, right? It was a lot of that, a lot of like, please
were
don't.
Saying, I'm so sorry. Were yeah, they saying that?
Yeah. So everyone felt deep remorse, but it was definitely not handled well. Like, I never should have been moved. I never yeah. should have been picked up at that
yeah,
point.
Yeah, of course.
You know?
And if the phone was sitting there the whole time, I can't believe nobody was calling your parents.
Yeah. I think no one wanted to believe that it could have been worse. There's a lot of that feeling. Yeah. Like, well, this can't be that bad.
But then you even said, I want to go to the hospital. And they just said, go to sleep. It'll go away.
Yeah. Yeah.
Boy, oh boy. I don't know. That's really upsetting. I'm not going to let my daughter go anywhere.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, I would never make her go to a Bible
game. Yeah. Oh, well, I'm never going back.
But honestly, I hope that she would call me as well or have the sense to think that somebody needs help.
Yeah. And it's dangerous. And I know the camp itself, I think it's shut down since now. I think there was some sort of health code violation.
No kidding.
Because also that summer, and I don't put this part in the story, but everyone got wicked sick. It's like that hand and mouth, hand and foot disease
yeah.
where there was just some sort of like
super
feces.
Contagious.
Yeah. Everyone was barfing and it looked like some sort of like concentration camp. Kids were laid out in the field on mattresses, throwing up everywhere.
When you were there.
Yeah.
Oh
because
my
I guess
God.
They were like the ducks were pooping in the lake and everyone was swimming and like just basically drinking duck poop.
Oh my
and then,
God.
Yeah. And I was like, I think that's what ended up shutting the camp down. I'd have to double check.
Yeah.
But it was one of those things where I was like, oh,
that is unbelievable.
I'm over it.
Yeah, the director, had she been there forever? Or
oh, no, that was his first summer.
His
there.
First summer.
And he and I used to be at the same camp with a lot of our friends throughout high school. And he's so funny. And he's like the best.
He's the one who came clean in the end.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I mean.
And he's.
Did he ever say, I can't believe I didn't call your parents. I wasn't thinking.
I think probably. Yeah. I think we all agreed after that. Like, okay, that should have been handled different.
Yeah.
But he was so funny. I think the first thing he did was like, promise me NSYNC tickets. And I was like, okay, he knows me. But
yeah. I guess. I don't know. I'm just still so mad at them all.
Yeah. It was tough. It was really tough. I should have left earlier. I think that's what was hard about that summer, you know, and the idea of just being at summer camp all summer, you know, it's something I did growing up, but at a certain point it's like, oh man, I need to get away
especially
from this.
Especially at 18, because those kids
yeah.
are like I did summer camp at 15.
Yeah.
I was a camp counselor for what they called fresh air camps. And
okay.
So that was inner city kids. And a week at a time we'd have these kids. And, but it was much more innocent. You
yeah.
know what I mean? I think the there wasn't anybody over, you know, the kids, I think they maybe up to eighth grade.
Okay.
You know, so it sounds like your camp was like, well, what age yeah. were the kids?
Anywhere, I think the youngest was fourth grade, they would ever be.
Oh,
and there are different weeks throughout the summer and then
I
up
see.
Through high school. But something I also noticed at a lot of these camps was how many people would get injured.
Oh,
we would play
God.
Night games and no matter what, someone's breaking a leg or an arm or a collarbone. And I remember being like, what? This is strange to me.
Yeah.
Like, why is everyone getting injured? We're at camp. You know, I don't know. I don't think that kids should be put
yeah.
in situations where they
well,
can get
injured.
Did they
even have a nurse's office at that camp?
They had a cabin, a nurse's station.
Yeah.
You know, and
it's
she was cool.
Thing.
Teaspoon was really cool, but I think it was just so mishandled.
It just sounds very crazy. And then the whole Lord of the Rings thing on top of it. It's too many things happening.
It adds this whole other layer.
Yeah.
That people were dressed up like Lord of the Rings characters. And we had to wear these chainmail felt outfits. And this lady who made them, oh my gosh, she was like one of the counselor's moms. And she was also a complete psychopath. I think she fashioned herself some sort of professional costume person, which she was. They were really pro. But I remember she was also super kind of snarky.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, what is up with these people? Like, yeah. What's in the water here?
Do you have brothers and sisters?
I do.
Did any of them ever go to that camp?
They didn't.
Thank goodness.
No. Yeah. And I didn't. I think most of my friends who worked there, they didn't go back. I think that was the last one.
Yeah. Hey, I want to tell you guys about my new sponsor, Noom, N-O-O-M. And most people who lose weight gain it all back. Why? Well, because most weight loss plans just tell you what to do while you're on the plan, but not after. Well, there's this new app called Noom, and it's not a lose weight fast plan. It's more like lose weight for good plan. It's a thinking person's diet. And you don't have to be a celebrity to have your own support team or your own glam squad. I mean, Noom is right there with their coaches. They've got nutrition experts, fitness trainers, and it's all in one app. And they work with you personally to recognize and change your habits that might be blocking your success. So you learn how to eat, how to move. So it's not dieting, it's learning how to change your lifestyle. And it's right there on the phone whenever and wherever you need it. I mean, we're all strapped for time, but Noom just asks that you commit 10 minutes a day. That's it. So what do you have to lose? Sign up today to start your trial at Noom.com/story. That's Noom.com/story. Start your trial today at Noom.com/story and start losing weight for good. Honestly, you guys, you're going to see life-changing results and you're going to be happy I told you about this. All right, you guys, I got to wrap it up right about now. I want to thank you so much for tuning in. Head over to Twitter and tell Jenna that you enjoyed her story. Tweet her over there at Jenna Brister. And then follow me, too, at Storyworthy. That would be fantastic. And on behalf of all the sponsors on the show today, thank you so much, you guys. Because when you support my sponsors, then you're supporting me and my child. Yes, she keeps wanting to eat. I don't know. It just never stops. All right, and one more time on behalf of you, Jenna Brister, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. This is so fun.
My name is Christine Blackburn, saying make it a story-worthy week.
Thanks for joining us on the Storyworthy Podcast. We'll be back next week with all new stories. Subscribe to Storyworthy on iTunes and visit the Storyworthy website at storyworthypodcast.com.